Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took a walk one Sabbath day through the cornfields. His disciples were hungry and began to pick ears of corn and eat them. The Pharisees noticed it and said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing something that is forbidden on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his followers were hungry? How he went into the house of God and how they ate the loaves of offerings, which neither he nor his followers were allowed to eat, which were for the priests alone? Or again, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the temple priests break the Sabbath without being blamed for it? Now here I tell you is something greater than the temple. If you had understood the meaning of the words, 'What I want is mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the blameless. The Son of Man is master of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. I've never felt any great impetus to take drugs, so never been a problem. Come round school and say, "Don't take drugs, they damage your brain." I think, well, could stop you there, good argument. Of course, some drugs are more dangerous than others, but then, even at university, people say, "Would you like to try some dope? It'll help you relax." And I'd be thinking, if I get any more relaxed, I would lose the use of my legs. So no personal temptation there, and whether they legalise, I won't be taking anything. However, it's still also a reason not to take drugs. It is against the law. The law is not something to break lightly. We want the law for lots of things. We want to use the law. I noticed a journalist in the BBC talking about how the relaxed attitude to the use of marijuana in the BBC in the studios. And I thought, yes, but then he still broke the law, which made you vulnerable when there were other laws that you might well have wished to be enforced, which you couldn't do anything about. You make yourself unable to enforce law if you break the law as you want to. The thing to do is to change the law, whatever you can. Some things, though, you have to break the law. And that's something we see with the not just Christ and the apostles, but the early church. They had to break the law. There were times when, to be Christians, they had to break through the law. The law was a barrier. They couldn't allow it to be a barrier. And this passage is about breaking the law as it stood. Now, you can say, to make it simple, that we should keep the law as it simply prevents us doing things because we can always do without things. But we should be able to break the law sometimes to do things, to not be forced to do things which are wrong. And that's simple but not quite right, because clearly in this passage, not a case of them being forced to do something, it's a case of them not being allowed to do something. Don't eat the ears of corn on the Sabbath. But Christ's justification is based on the need to do something. As for the early Christians, there were things they needed to do. And the law cannot prevent these things. It cannot be a barrier to the things we must do. Paul in Galatians says there are things like meekness, temperance, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit. He said, against such there is no law. The law cannot prevent the fruits of the Spirit. But even then, it's still tricky. I mean, we have to be very careful about breaking the law, because we want to break through the law, but we don't want to destroy it. We don't want to wreck the law. We need law to survive. The law stops violence, it stops us abusing each other, it protects the innocent and the vulnerable. It also makes us live well. When is it right to break the law? Now, the first passage, which I didn't read out from Isaiah, the famous healing of Hezekiah, the king healed by Isaiah, the prophet. He thinks he'll die. It's very interesting what Isaiah says. He says, "Send someone to Hezekiah to say, 'The Lord, the God of David, your answer says this, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will cure you.' And then he says, 'In 3 days' time, you shall go up to the temple of the Lord.'" Interesting way of putting it. He's cured to go to the temple of the Lord. That's his obligation. And in many ways, that's the point of the anointing of the sick. Anointed the sick heals us, that we might live a life in Christ. or else if we're ready to go to Christ, if it's time, or the best time, not to say we're necessarily saints, but at least dying in Christ, ready for purgatory, then we go forward to Christ in that way. You shall go up to the temple of the Lord. That's the obligation of the living. When you look at the two examples Christ gives of apparently breaking the law, they're both based on temple law. They also have something else in common, something you might miss. They involve groups of people. David with his companions, or the priests who share in the Sabbath worship on the Sabbath day in the temple. Groups of people. Because it's about being gathered together. And Christ says that's the law of sharing in the worship of the temple. That's our prime purpose. The law cannot prevent that. But Christ himself is saying there is something greater in the temple. It doesn't say he is greater than the temple, that's part of what he means, but rather he means the whole thing. Christ with his disciples, the new world, the new kingdom, greater than the temple. As Paul puts it, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it involves gathering together, it involves many people coming together. In South Africa, during the days of apartheid, the church found itself in conflict. And what precisely forced into conflict wasn't necessarily politics, it wasn't necessarily that the priests were particularly liberal or left-wing or right-on or whatever. It was actually a practical problem that apartheid was preventing Christians worshipping together, being together. And that's the main thing that the law cannot prevent. The law is a barrier to unity. You break through it. It also means that the gathering together is a great commandment. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love God with all your heart and soul. It's fulfilled by the gathering together, the being together, living together, praying together, belonging together, being in Christ together. And that need forced the church into conflict with the law. It didn't need to analyse the law to say this law is wrong. It didn't need to have a theory of humanity or equality or rights or justice. It needed to be together in Christ, and the law can't prevent that. And that's why David and his followers together eat, because David was, in fact, as he said, on a mission to God. Theory was running from Saul, but in reality he was fulfilling the will of God to form the new kingdom. The priests go together on the Sabbath day to unite, to gather, to be one. It's a great law. It's something greater than the temple. It's just something that gathers together even more. We're summoned, in the new translation, to gather in Christ. No law against that. And any law that tries to break that law of unity must be broken. Walk through it. Doesn't exist. There can be no law against such things.